Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. We'll start there and go from there. As you turn, I want to encourage you to pray and fast at least a little bit during the month of July for our services on July 27th, 28th. And the thing about it, I just want to encourage you to come out and bring people with you to those services. You're going to probably be sick of hearing about them. But, and people say, do I have to be water baptized? No. But the thing about it is this. How many of you ever came up here to the altar to be touched by God? Or in a church? You went up front to be touched by God, right? Now, granted, He can touch you there. And so a lot of people say, well, I don't get, why do we need to be baptized in water to be touched by God? Because it's the altar. During those services, that's going to be where the altar's at, is at the baptismal tank. Or the hot tub for those who want a bit more warmer. And so the thing about it, if you know somebody and you've never been baptized after you got saved, we'll baptize you. I have no problem with that. But this is also the meeting point at the altar where God's going to touch lives and people are going to be delivered. People are going to be saved. People are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. People are going to be set free. And I believe people are going to walk out healed and whole. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be bringing them in. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be preaching today. I'd just fold up my Bible and just walk away. But because I believe it, it's like fire in the bones. And the more the devil presses in, the more fire I get. Because sometimes you walk through things. You ever notice that sometimes hard times brings a greater move of God in your own life? Because sometimes we get so happy and lazy that we just like, oh, you know, it's all going to be good. No, sometimes God allows things to happen to draw us closer to Him. Because the thing about it, we can either blame the devil for God for it, or it's just life situation. I've never met anybody who's never had a problem in life besides Ron Post. His life has been perfect since the day he came out of the womb. Yes?
I want to be the first one in the tape.
All right. Praise God.
I'm sorry.
Huh? Baptism.
What's that?
Baptism.
Yeah. Healing baptism, whatever God wants to do. And we'll explain more of it when we get there because there's a way He likes to set it up. And since we're bringing Him in and this is what God's leading Him to, we're not going to go, you know, usually you do water baptism, you go 1, 2, 3, up and down. This is a meeting point with God. And we're not going to force to have somebody be in there for 30 seconds. We're going to let them be in there and linger, let the Holy Spirit touch them. And I believe that people are going to walk away totally different. Because I wouldn't be doing it. I wouldn't be here preaching today if I didn't believe that God has something greater. And the thing about it, ever since vacation, God's been telling me, you need to grow your capacity. And so He's been challenging me, oh, what about this area? You need to grow in this area. I don't want to grow in that area. I'm fine with what I know. You ever told God, like, or it's like, you know, I don't want to learn anything else. I have enough knowledge. Sometimes we might not say that, but we come across that way. I don't want to learn anything new. These new smartphones, they're not really that smart. They're actually kind of dumb because you get to tell them how to do it. I'm still smarter than my phone most of the time, unless the information I'm asking for is a lot smarter than me, which is quite often. But so the thing about it is that it's a meeting point. And you're going to meet God in the water. And God's going to touch you. And the thing about it, people will say, well, I don't have to do it. That's pride. And pride will keep you from everything God has for you. Pride got Satan kicked out of heaven. So I'm telling you right now, start praying, start fasting, bring even your worst enemies, because they need Jesus. Did you know that everyone that you see looks like God? Think about that for a moment. Everyone that you ever met who's human looks like God. Because back in the book of Genesis, what does it say? He created them in his image. So even that person that you might not like, who's a politician, or who's a dog catcher, or who is the worst leader you can imagine, they're still created in God's image, and he died for them. God even died for the worst of the vilest of sinners, even those ones that hurt you greatly. And the thing about it, when you walk into that water, and you say, well, do I have to wait? No, God can meet you along the way. But when you come expecting, things change. When you come expecting, like Christmas, you can either expect gifts or you, well, I guess I won't get anything this year. Pouty face. Wah. But if you come, if you're like a four-year-old, knowing that mom and dad at least got your stocking and something under the tree for you, you come expecting. It's your birthday. You come, I'm hoping somebody at least wishes me a happy birthday today. Right? At least maybe your spouse or your kids or your grandkids or great-grandkids. Hopefully someone remembers my birthday. The worst thing that ever happened to me, well, not worst thing, one thing I remember that my mom and dad forgot was my birthday one year. I was not around them. They never tried to get a hold of me. I came late. But I never got a happy birthday wish from almost anybody. I was like, man, that's kind of a bug. I've had many birthday parties since then. But expectations. Don't you expect people to wish you a happy birthday on your birthday? So hopefully that you came today expecting God to touch you where you're at. And guess what? Church doesn't start at 10 a.m. It starts days before. If you decide to stay up late on Saturday night because SNL is running their favorite reruns, Saturday Night Live, in case you didn't know. I don't watch, I've never seen it. I know what it's about. But you decide to stay up late to watch whatever, that cuts into what God wants to do, because you maybe come in tired, not expecting. Expecting. Are you expecting God to meet you in the month of July? I am. I mean, ever since, I think, about late December into January into February, I'm like, something is happening in July. We're kicking it off with an hour of prayer with other pastors in other churches. I don't know about you, that's a miracle in America. Because the thing about it is that people don't like, well, they're from a different church. I don't want to associate with them. If they're preaching the gospel, I'm all for them. Jesus crucified. Let's get together and go for it. Because we, here at Living Water Church, we do not have the corner on the market for lost souls. Other people can win lost souls too. I root for other churches in this community, in this county, to grow with lost souls. Hopefully you're praying for other churches that they win lost souls, as much as you're praying for yourself to win lost souls. All right, are you there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 20? All right. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Before I read this, remember, this letter was to a church, not outside the church. Remember, God, Paul's writing to people who say they're believers in Christ and they're trying to follow Christ. That's who this is to. It's not to that person who has no clue, doesn't want anything to do with God, anything like that. This is not the book of the Bible for that. This is directly to a church And so we can glean from what Paul's writing is to a Pacific church going through sexual immorality. And it's the same book that talks about the movement of the Holy Spirit. Even the most dysfunctional churches can have the gift of God moving greatly in their midst. Because the gifts are irrevocable. All right, verse 12. Paul's writing. You say I'm allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual morality. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. And God will raise us up from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. That means physically raised. Verse 15. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? That means we're a body. The thing about it is that when you lose a part of your body, doesn't that hurt? I mean, I've never lost a part of my body, but I've never really broken a bone in my body, but I've injured my knee and stuff. And when I have an injured knee, it takes a toll on the other knee. And so when part of the body is missing, the whole body is hurting. Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. Verse 16. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scripture says the two are united into one, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. This section is not just about sexual morality, it's about your body. Because guess what? You were created in God's image, like I said just a few moments ago, because God created you that way. And when I was younger, I really didn't care what my body looked like. I didn't care about working out. I did not want to do weights. I did not want to run. All I wanted to eat is bonbons and sit back and be lazy. You know, drinking 4 Mountain Dews with no problem when I was younger. Eating all the ice cream, all the pizza, all this stuff. Because I didn't care about the body. And I'm like, well, you know, I want to live once. Why not have fun? Why not enjoy it and all that? But here Paul is now rebuking us with that mindset. Because our bodies matter to God. Because he gave you that body. Some of you say, well, I don't like my body. I don't like this part about my body. I don't like that part of my body. Guess what? God loves that part about your body. See, the whole thing, people will say, well, God put me in the wrong body. No, he didn't. You've been brainwashed by a lie. God created you perfectly for that body. Well, I don't like my nose. It's kind of wonky. It's okay, because God made it a little wonky. It happens. Guess what? God still loves you. See, so many people will say, well, I need to change this, I need to change that. Why? Because God loves your body. He loves it so much. When you come into a relationship with Christ, he loved your body so much, he gave you something when you entered into fellowship with Christ. When you say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you, forgive me of my sins. And guess what? He goes, oh, yeah, I got a gift for you. Can you imagine meeting somebody for the very first time and they go, oh, yeah, I got a gift for you? How exciting that would be. Every time you meet somebody new, they have a gift for you. But that means every time you meet somebody new, you have a gift for them as well. Your gift to God is your body, it's your life. Because without your body, you can't live. You have a spirit and you have a soul, yes, and they will live on for eternity. But the thing about it, but here on earth, without a body, you cannot live. You need to take care of this body. Paul's telling us, he's actually telling the church there, he goes, you have to take care of this body, because if you don't take care of this body, you won't last that long. I know people who are in their 30s who are on about 5 or 6 prescription medicines. And it saddens me. I'm my 50s and I stay away from those things as far as I can. I figure I'd rather work out and then go get some medicine. But the thing about it is that here he is. He starts off, he goes, against his own, he says, am I allowed to do anything? But not everything's good for me. In other words, he says, can I eat anything I want? Well, just made of food, because that's what he talks about here in a little bit. Can I sleep with anybody I want? Can I do this? Can I do anything I want? So, yes, you can. You can literally do anything. You can go rob a bank if you want today. There's consequences to what you do, yes. But you have the right to do anything you want. You can go hurt somebody. You can go drive recklessly. You can do anything you want. But it's not always permissible for you to do it. I remember when I was younger, I could eat a lot more than I do now. Doesn't mean it was a good thing. But it would have been nothing for me to eat over the abundance. Hey, guys. So the thing about it, here he is. Paul is writing. He goes, not everything is beneficial for me to do. But there's no, but in the scripture, it doesn't say I can't do this. You ever hear somebody say that? Or does it? It doesn't say I shouldn't be doing that in the scripture. Not everything we have that we face today is in the scripture. Because it never mentions cars in the scripture.
Or cell phones.
Or the internet. But it gives us a general overview of. Does it matter what car you buy? Well, not really. But some cars might not be permissible. There's some cars I will not buy because I know I'll get to know the sheriffs way too much. And that's the reason why they have cruise controls on cars. Because it keeps you from getting to know the local officers. And that's a good thing. Not everything's permissible. Not everything's beneficial for us. Just because it's beneficial for somebody else, maybe God's telling you not to do it. Because whatever you allow, you can easily become a slave to. But Paul's here, and he's talking about the body. And then he goes on with food. And it's interesting that they got kicked out of heaven because of food. Because of disobedience. And Paul says, isn't food for the stomach and the stomach for food? Yeah, it is. It's good to eat. I love to eat. Tell me one holiday where there's no food involved. Well, we have 4th of July coming up. What do you think about? A cookout. Hot dogs and hamburgers. Right? Father's Day was last weekend. Hey, let's grill something out on the grill. Mother's Day. Hey, let's do this for mothers. Easter. Hey, we need a pig. We need a ham. We need bacon. You know? Christmas time. All the spreads. Thanksgiving. Oh, can't forget the turkey. Halloween. Can't forget the candy. You know, we got to sweeten them up. Labor Day, Memorial Day, all day you gotta have a picnic. Most every major holiday, there's food associated with it. And that's not a bad thing. Food is a good thing. But when it becomes our idol, when it comes, well, is Aunt Susan bringing her famous potato salad?
That's a
What's that?
I thought you
meant
ants on the food.
Oh, no ants on the food. That's we'll keep the ants off the food. Is Aunt Sandy Green her famous potato salad? Well, if she doesn't, man, the meal won't be complete. What's more important, the food or the fellowship?
Okay.
Hopefully, the fellowship. Oh, it's somebody's birthday. Guess what we got to make for them? A birthday cake. My favorite, off subject, my favorite cake is upside down pineapple cake.
Really?
Yeah. My mom used to make it all the time for my birthday. I don't need it now. The pineapple's good. The cherries are good. But you know, the brown sugar, that's not the best thing for your teeth. And so the thing about it is that we'll make it a scoop. I mean, even you think about it, we'll have the holiday in March. St. Patrick's Day. Oh, we gotta go have other spirits. See, there's always something. Why can't we just get together? Could you imagine if I called next Sunday morning? Don't bring any food, just bring fellowship. Well, that wouldn't be as much fun, would it?
No donuts.
Peas, lots of peas.
But the thing about it is that we associate things with food. But the thing about it, God's saying, your body associates with what you have involved with. Then he goes on, he goes, okay, let's forget about the food. He goes, what about sexual morality? It says, whoever you have sex with, you become like. And there's been proven that whenever someone touches you in any such way, even a handshake, you exchange DNA. So every time I come up, give my friend a handshake, you have my DNA now. He can go wash it off. I don't want his germs. And that's the reason why it's very important that here's Paul saying that it's not just the act of intimacy, it's but what goes with it. Because it's not just a physical form of getting together. There's emotional ties, there's the spiritual ties, there's those things that come with it, and there's whatever word you join like that, it's impossible to get rid of that DNA when there's the intimacy taking place. Impossible. That's the reason why Paul's here saying, you only need one spouse. I don't understand why the Old Testament people had more than one spouse. One is plenty for me, and I'm excited. I'm fine with that. I don't need any. But at the same time, here Paul is writing to a church that is full of corruption and immoralities, and he's saying, hey guys, be careful, because it will harm your body. What are those things? I mean, we all had health class sometime in our life. You know, transmitted diseases. Yes, you are correct. And so the thing about it is that Paul's saying, when you join up with somebody, you become like them. You ever notice that older people become like each other? They start looking like each other, dressing like each other, acting like each other. Their dogs will start even look like them. Part of the reason why the older couples who've been married for years started looking like in each other is because they have intimacy and they become one. And when you become intimate with God, I'm not saying sexually, but when you have that close relationship with God, that you become like Jesus. You'll start looking like Jesus, acting like Jesus, doing the things Jesus would do. And guess what? It's not political, but it's biblical and moral. And so the thing about it, that's the reason why Paul is saying, if I'm a part of the body of Christ,
Why would I go after something that is not God, not Jesus? Because there's so many people who say, well, I have Jesus and I need my coffee. No, you don't. You don't need Jesus and caffeine. You don't need Jesus plus something else. Well, you know, I'm a such and such Christian. No. You're either a Christian or you're not. Well, I'm a glass eyewear wearing Christian. No. You're just a Christian. Well, I'm a long-haired hippie Christian. No, you're just a Christian. I'm a this type of, no, you're either all a Christian or not. You can't bring Jesus into something to make it godly. And you can't take something to Christ and make, it's either all or nothing. That's what I'm going. Well, I get upset when people say, well, I just do yoga and it doesn't hurt me. Yes, it will. I just like it for stretching. But do you know what those poses are and where they're aiming to and all the other, I have nothing against people stretching. I have nothing matter with people exercising. But when you mix it with things that are not godly, you become just like that thing more than God. So we got to be careful. It's like making a batter for a cake. It becomes a full thing. It doesn't just say eggs. It doesn't say flour. It doesn't say, it mixes up to something really yummy, obviously, or we wouldn't have it. But the thing about it, we want to mix things with Jesus to make it palatable, rather than say, that's sin and that's wrong. And our bodies, as a believer, are different than those who are not believers. Not believers, guess what? They're going to eat, they're going to do all these things, they're going to sleep around. See, the thing about it, we as believers, we have to have something different. We're set apart, we're different. We're totally different. And so Paul is writing here. Remember, it's to the church. Our bodies were never made for sexual immorality. God cares about our bodies. So here he is. And don't you realize, verse 16, don't you realize that if a man joins himself with a prostitute, he becomes one with her? For the scripture says, the two who are united into one. Verse 18. I want to talk about this because I think this is going to help some of us. It says here, verse 18, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians says, run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Think about it. He doesn't say resist sexual sin. It says flee. It says run from sexual sin. You cannot resist sexual sin. It's impossible. You have to get rid of it. You have to flee, you have to run, you got to get rid of it. Temptation, there's two temptations. One is outside sexual temptation. The other one is sexual temptation. With outside sexual temptation, you can resist it all you want. You can resist those cravings of food and go fasting and seeking God and clinging to God. Those things must flee. But here, every time he talks about sexual immorality, sexual sin, he says, flee from that thing. Because you cannot resist it. No guy, no girl has ever resisted sexual temptation when it comes to them. Like, Pastor, you shouldn't be preaching about this on a Sunday morning. Yeah, I should. I don't care if you're married or single. Everybody has to deal with sexual temptation. It'll pop up on your computer screen. Even if you have blockers, it'll still pop up. But with blockers, See, the reason why we have blockers on our computers and our home phones and our phones is because I don't want to deal with that garbage. I don't need to see a half-clad lady on my screen. I don't even want to see them out in public. There's places I will not go because of the way people are dressed. Say, Pastor, that's kind of bad, is it? No, because I don't need to deal with it. It says, flee from that. Run from it. Why should I put myself into... It'd be like me going to a donut shop or an ice cream shop and not ordering ice cream. Man, that's not bad. Come in all by yourself. Ooh, ice cream. You know what you're going to do? You're going to buy some ice cream, aren't you? Yeah, you are. You know one reason why they don't like people hurrying up, checking out? They actually want some time. Don't take their time. Because there's goodies at the register. And if someone could take an extra minute and you're standing there like, should I buy a candy bar? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? If you wait for too long and you compliment, you're going to go for it. You know why they put the milk in the back end of the store? Because there's lots. Because most people just need milk and bread. At least for storms. I don't know why. It's like, I don't get it. You know why they put it in the back of the store? It's because you have to walk past all the other food. And you walk, ooh, those chips look good. Oh, those Oreos would go great with my milk. Oh, the bananas, oh yeah, so nummy. Oh man, you know, we'll have pizza for tonight. There's a reason why they put it all the way in the back. But it says here, it goes, flee from that sexual temptation. One man did it great in the Bible. His name is Joseph. It says that he was a handsome, good-looking guy, just like your pastor. Handsome-looking guy. And it says, Potiphar's wife continued to make advances at him. See, it's not always the guy's fault, contrary to what people believe. Sometimes it's the lady who makes the move. And if the lady's making the move and she's not married to you, you just move. And what he did, he resists. But eventually she grabs it. Hey, come into my bedroom. He goes, I'm out of here. And he fled. Then she was a liar. This guy tried to harm me. I got his coat right here. And they threw him in jail. It's like, dude, I didn't do anything. If anything, I protected myself. I ran. Sometimes when you run away from sexual morality, people will still lie about you. But keep your morals. Keep those things. And so he ran. But God blessed him in the midst of the heartache and disappointment. Guess what happened? He went just from not just second in command over a gentleman's house where he could touch anything he wanted besides the wife. He was put in jail, but God promoted him because he kept his purity. He kept everything. He ran from that. And he went from second in place over a house to second place over the kingdom. And Pharaoh's wife is still off limits. I'm telling you, if you're not married to that man or to that woman, she's off limits. And he's off limits. They're not yours. Well, we're engaged. She's still not yours. He's still not yours. Well, we're dating. They're not yours. And a piece of paper doesn't mean they're yours. I know too many people who've been married and a piece of paper. Because when the government decided that marriage could be between anything and anybody, they lost their authority to tell us what marriage is. Marriage is between man and woman. And marriage is more than a piece of paper, trust me. I don't know the last time I looked, oh, am I still married? My marriage license is going to burn up in a fire. Guess what? I'm going to still be married to my wife. Because the government didn't make it. The thing about marriage, it's between you, your spouse, and God. That's what marriage is about. And the reason why they have marriage, so they can tax you different. Piece of paper will tell you how you can be taxed, or if you can get benefits or not. All these things. And so the thing about it, here, Paul is saying flee from it. You know who did a horrible job of fleeing? Think about this. A man after God's own heart did a horrible job of fleeing. Think about it. He was up on the rooftop, and I don't think this is the first time. It doesn't say, he looked over, oh, she's bathing. And people don't bathe fully clothed, okay? It's just life. And he probably realized when she bathed, and he probably went up on the rooftop, and eventually, because he did not flee, he not just committed adultery, he committed a murder. See, that's what my God. Because when you choose to go down the wrong avenue, see, that's what my, like, if you're not even remotely serious about each other, don't even hold hands. Don't kiss. Don't hug. Because those things will lead to places you don't want to be. And the thing about it, your emotions will overwhelm you than your logic when you get too far. Like, Pastor, you're meddling. Good. You need pastors to meddle in your business.
Amen.
And then, because we flee and run, this is the cool thing about it. He goes, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Think about it. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit living inside of them, so it's not the temple of the Holy Spirit. As my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, wouldn't it be best for me to take care of this body? To my best ability? You know, some of you can't maybe do as much as you used to, but do what you can do. Work out. Continue to do. Take care of this body because it's the only one you have. And guess what? I want to be one of these, when I get a little bit older, be as fitter in my future than I am today. That's my goal. I want to be healthier in the future, a year from now, than I am today. I actually am healthier today than I was a year ago. And the thing about it, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, so He can tell me, don't eat that, don't do that, don't look at that, don't read that, don't listen to that. Because this is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I want it to be the best temple He has to dwell in. And the Holy Spirit needs something to dwell in. You think about it, the first temple they ever built, that's called, by our standards today, billions of dollars. Your body, because the Holy Spirit lives in it, it costs a lot of money. So wouldn't you want to take care of it? I want to take care of mine.
Do I do the best I can? No.
I still struggle. I still struggle with food. Oh man, that was a good meal. Let me have seconds. You know, it's not, the thing about it is that just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're a failure. Just means you have room for improvement. How awesome is that? Ron, you still have room for improvement. Imagine that. You're almost perfect. Getting closer every day. And so the thing about it is that God wants us to strive for Him. And the Holy Spirit's inside of us to help us strive for Him. And the Holy Spirit's a gift. How cool is that? The greatest gift you could ever receive after salvation is the placement of the Holy Spirit inside of you. I'm not even talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing. I'm talking about that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and He starts guiding you and directing you, and you're different than you were a year ago. That's the greatest gift you can ever have outside of salvation. And the only way you can get that gift is through Jesus. It is through salvation. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit. They try to pay. They have a false Holy Spirit. They can do some crazy stuff. I mean, they can heal people, but there's a cost. But guess what? When the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you're like, oh man, I'm ready for you. I want what you have. Because we no longer belong to ourselves. As a believer, I don't belong to myself anymore. I am now, I was bought at a high price. A life. Now I belong to Jesus. There's an old song that came out, I think in the late 80s, early 90s. I belong to Jesus, I belong to Him. I belong to Jesus, free from sin. You remember that one? That's who we are. I belong to Jesus, I belong to Him, I belong to Jesus, free from sin. Why do we belong to Him? Because He paid our debt. He died for our sins. He took the beatings, He took the bruises, He took the hair torn out of His chinny chin chin. He took all that for us because He created you in His image, and He doesn't want you to miss going to heaven. The cool thing about it, the greatest thing about it, yeah, Lori passed away just over 2 weeks ago or a week ago or whatever it's been. But guess what? She's in heaven. Because she finally said, Jesus, I need you. She's in heaven. She might not have been saved for that long, but when she got to heaven, guess what God said to her? Well done, good and faithful servant. Some of you have been serving Jesus all your life or a long time. And when you get to heaven, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to say the same thing to you. Well done, good and faithful servant. How awesome is that? Because I don't belong to this world any longer. I am now an ambassador for Christ. I am now set apart. I am now different. I no longer belong to myself. I don't belong to my wife. I don't belong to my kids. I first belong to Christ and Christ alone. Then after I got married, and Paul talks about this in one of his epistles, he talks about marriage where a man is not his own and the lady's not his own. That if I want to go get a tattoo, I should go through it and ask, hey, honey, I'm thinking about getting a tattoo. Right here on my clown tattoo. Big old red smile. Maybe not? No. See, when we belong to Christ, we have no, all of our obligations are, okay, Christ, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to get a tattoo like a clown? And He'll say, no, please, please don't. You'll ask Jesus, hey Jesus, do you want me to do this? You know, we got the tent up, and the thing about it is that God told me to get the tent up this summer before I knew anything was going to happen out there. And I'm like, God, why do I want to pull up the tent? This was back in December, January. I wasn't asked to do anything out there. I'm like, okay. Next thing I know, hey, will you host a prayer meeting on July 4th? Sure. Then I realize it's a Saturday. I go, well, we can't use the building. Because they have service here. That was in the afternoon. We probably could have arranged it. But no, it was almost an hour before them. So I'm like, well, that's one reason. And talking to us, hey, yeah, I'll come out and preach on their town. I go, well, there'll be bean fields everywhere. He goes, praise God, no bean fields. It's not corn this year. We won't lose anybody. Then he goes on, he goes, for God bought you with a high price. So you must. You must. This is Paul writing. You think about it. You must. Anybody ever tell you must do something? How does that make you feel? Come on, bless me.
We don't want to do it.
Right. You get, oh yeah, you can't tell me what to do. You're not the boss of me. I saw this shirt. I was thinking about getting it, but I decided not to. It goes, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my daughter. For some of you, it would read, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my grandchild. Right? Your grandchild asks for something, and guess what? Trust me, I have a mom who has two grandkids that are related to me. And when they ask, hey, Grandma, can I have some ice cream at 9 o'clock? Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Can't see you doing it.
That's right, because I'm not grandparents. Now, if my grandkids would come over and we had ice cream, Enoch?
No, when you become a grandparent, you're not going to do that.
Yeah. So here it goes, you must honor God with your body. It's not an obligation, y'all. Paul's writing here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you must take care of your body because it's a temple and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. That looks differently for everyone. What people put in their mouths. And don't condemn somebody because they can eat pizza and you can't. Don't condemn somebody because they love their ice cream more than you do. Don't condemn somebody and don't do the opposite and say, well, you're goody tissue because all you do is eat healthy. Celery is not the greatest thing on the face of the earth. But you add peanut butter to it and some raisins, it tastes a whole lot better. But the thing about it, this meat, I'll wrap up with this. We have our garden growing, and so I figured out that I can eat the leaves of my beets. But not all of them, just some of them. And so out of one beet, they have like 5 or 6 leaves. So they go leave about 3 or 4 of them. And so I started cutting some leaves off some beets. And I'm like, oh, I want to cut off some carrot tops. Then I'm like, oh, the onions are growing. I'm going to cut off some of these growing onions. Oh, then I got my garlic. They go, you can eat the garlic too. Just don't eat the potato leaves. They're not good for you. And so I made my salad. Did you know that was the most tastiest salad I had in a long time? It's like, wow, it's flavorful. And so sometimes you get to be creative to take care of your body. And God's going to help you. Because this is the only body we have. The world says, well, you can transform into something what you want to be. No, you can't. This is the only body you have. And so, I'm going to encourage you to take care of it. And we get to take care of it. We must take care of it. And God will take care of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our bodies that you've given us. We thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. We ask you to just pour out your Spirit upon us. And Lord, we thank you for our bodies. Lord, give us wisdom how to take care of our bodies.